Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm not addicted to technology like these two guys are, but hopefully they'll be ready to go as soon as we get started here. Izzy Gutierrez and Bomani Jones. I might not be able to get Bomani out of that thing.
I'm going to finish this quiz, right? Do you think you cute? All right.
We got to do some television.
Yeah, you'll be here when I get done.
Who impressed you more last night for their age, Zion or LeBron?
All right, the people on this panel are old now. I am the oldest among us, but all of us had trying to get to the end of even Zion and LeBron because it was on so late at night. But one of the things that age brings you is perspective. And all three of us are old enough to know that when Michael Jordan was actually doing it at the beginning, before the championships, we unleashed holy hell on him, questioning whether or not that style of basketball would work or not. Now we've changed it all and we fixed it, but we're going to go back on LeBron James and think him criminally underappreciated because he's been the best for longer than Michael Jordan was the best, playing at this rate, at this speed, with this kind of mileage, and dismantling a Zion Williamson last night because he decided to be great again. I'm telling you, this network has been an infomercial for LeBron for 10 years, and you can't cover his greatness enough.
And we're an infomercial for Zion now. And let me lead the trade on that one. Yes, LeBron scored 40 points. It was an incredible 40 points. He looked like he could not miss that stretches. But I'm still blown away watching what Zion is doing while basically just kind of hanging around until somebody throws him the ball and he does something incredible. Like the thought of him being on a team with Lonzo Ball running the floor with some of those long distance oops. And we saw some of that last night. We saw Zion stopping Anthony Davis defensively where he's just muscling up to him and putting his long arms up and staying in position because he can defend Anthony Davis without having to leave his feet. I am stunned by how good he has been this early. And oh yeah, LeBron scored 40.
I mean, I couldn't agree with Bo more. Look, respect to LeBron, 40 points, incredible, especially against that team, that length, that body. But I spent that entire game watching Zion just in different ways. The beginning part, I wanted to see him stand next to LeBron and see how much bigger he is than him. Not that much bigger, just a little bit wider. That part's crazy. I watched him off the ball all the time because they're not just going to give him the ball and let him go to work because he doesn't really have moves with which to go to work. But just watching him off the ball to see how he gets those rebounds, see how he positions himself, see how easily he just bumps people out of the way and gets back up into the rim. And then you hear all of the talk afterward, hey, his second jump is amazing, this, that. This guy is the phenom, and I want to watch him a little bit more than I want to watch LeBron right now.
I will say this, though. Let me tell you who didn't really want to see LeBron too much. Zion Williamson. We had some opportunities that they were there for him to guard LeBron, and he's like, oh, wait a minute, I haven't gotten to that level yet.
You guys are numb to the excellence of LeBron, that you're still out here talking about Zion when LeBron had the season-high 40 points. LeBron's the one who won that basketball game.
I mean, while I understand what it is that you're talking about right now, man, can you get on something new? As the youngest person on this panel, I would like to stay. Get on the wave.
And since we just like to bother Bomani around here sometime, let's give credit to Alex Caruso for this wonderful pass last night. The great and wonderful Caruso with the headband.
You got to understand, though, I don't have any problem with Alex Caruso. My problem is with the rest of y'all. He's just out here living his life. It's the other people that's out here lying.
Are you all in on the Bucks?
So they go into Toronto, and Toronto has been better than any of us expected. Most of the season, they've had a better record than the Clippers, who got Kawhi from them without Kawhi. So Toronto's been really good, and Milwaukee did last night what it's been doing all season, dismantling anyone in their way by double digits. This is, so far, a historically great team on offense and on defense. And I don't know what it has to do, guys, to get the kind of attention that will get people excited, because they've got a superstar player who's got 12-inch hands. They're the biggest you've seen in the sport, bigger than Shaquille O'Neal. It's a ruler he's got for both hands, and that team is exceptional. And yet I'm still with Bomani. When the game changes in the playoffs and he's got to get his own shot and Kawhi is across from him, will it look like last year's playoffs?
Well, I'm certainly not tuning into a basketball game just to see a guy's hands or measure them. But hey, Dan, you do whatever you want. I don't really think that that's the question here, is do we want to watch the Bucks? It's, hey, are we all in on the Bucks? And I'm keeping a chip. I'm telling you, I'm going almost all in, but I'm keeping a chip in a chair because you can defend them in the playoffs. Even yesterday, I mean, you want to say, hey, obviously the Bucks did their thing. They beat Toronto pretty handily, but the strategy was double, triple team Giannis. And if that's going to be the case in the playoffs, and you know it's going to be, I'm not going to have that much faith in an Eric Bledsoe, even a Chris Middleton or a Robin Lopez out there shooting three. I will have faith in them enough to say, hey, I will pick you to win. But if I'm going all in saying, hey, this is guaranteed championship the way Kevin Durant and the Warriors were guaranteed championship when they were healthy, not close yet. Got to see it happen first.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. 5 years ago, I probably would have been all in on them just on the basis of the point differential and on the record. However, 4 years ago, you saw what happened to the 73-9 Warriors. That has completely messed up the regular season in the NBA. It's messed up the way that we perceive it, and it's messed up the way that we look at the teams at the top, because now we look at a team like that and say, well, wait a minute, somebody might be able to beat you. And we have to remember the Bucks were really good last year, too. They're better this year than they were last year, but they were really good, and they're about the same type of team as they are this year. So what we're going to have to see, at least I'm going to have to see, is something you can't show me in the regular season. It's going to be a certain kind of next level from Giannis in the playoffs. Now, to be fair, we are seeing a next level Chris Middleton. Like, he does now look like a guy that you can lean on and be like, oh, we need somebody to get us 30 and Giannis can't. Maybe Chris Middleton can be the guy to go out there and do it by himself. That's helpful for them, but we're going to have to see this happen in the playoffs before we believe it, and I don't care if that makes you mad.
What's funny is this is sort of going reverse, right? We're going back in time in basketball strategy where the Bucks are saying, hey, a jump shooting team can't beat us. We're going to protect the rim. We're going to give you those outside shots. We're not going to give you layups. And they're saying, hey, beat us. There aren't those Golden State Warriors out there putting up 20 made threes a game in the playoffs that I have to be afraid of. And so it's almost like the Bucks going old school there, and it just might work out for them.
Well, it's almost like the Bucks realizing that the Warriors didn't do that because they were a jump shooting team. They did it because they had like three of the greatest shooters of all time. If you don't have three of the greatest shooters of all time, maybe you shouldn't play like the Warriors, because when the Warriors only had two of the greatest shooters of all time, those postseasons were a struggle.
Would NFL players now be smart to accept a 17th game?
Okay, NFL players need to continue to ask for more and more and more from a league that continues to say safety first while doing things like this that can't be safety first, where you're putting your players in peril. I will ask you guys this, though, because the sport is collectively bargained, because even though it doesn't feel like they're partners on this stuff. I don't know what you do with the fact that football players will always get out there for that 17th game if I give you a little bit of extra money. It doesn't have to be a lot more extra money. They love those Sundays. They do what Ray Lewis says, which is, you pay me for Monday through Saturday, Sundays you get for free. They will always take the game, the extra game, if you come with a little extra money.
Except the thing is, for a lot of those guys, they're not coming with a little extra money. They're coming with a 20% raise. Like, if you're going from making 500 G's to 600 G's and all you got to do is play an additional week, that's at a higher rate than you were playing these games at before. So when we start talking about whether NFL players are fair for accepting the deal, we got to realize in a discussion like this, there's really four different types of NFL players. There's quarterbacks, there's star players, there's veteran minimum guys, and then there's minimum guys. And this league got a whole bunch of minimum guys who you just told, here's an extra 100 G's. It's going to be hard for them to turn them down, but it's also going to be hard for them to come to an agreement.
Sorry, Bo. I was holding that in for so long.
All good.
I started to cry. I'm
so
sorry.
Please air his face. Trying to hold that in long time. And Bomani's good enough at this that he'll just be able to pick it up there. But I want right now just to show Izzy's face again and again, trying hard as he was not to interrupt a really good point.
But this league has got a whole bunch of minimum guys who are around here, and I can't blame them. So, like, we have to understand it's going to be hard for the players to come to their own agreement because there's so many different interests within that one room.
All right, we've got enough on that. Let's look at his face here as he tries very hard not to interrupt Bomani, and you get all sorts of spasms
guys,
all over the place.
Minimum guys. And you got a whole bunch of minimum guys.
I'm not listening right there. Here's an extra 100 G's.
It's going to be hard for them to turn him down.
Done,
it's also going to be hard for them to come to an
agreement. Oh, there it is. I don't know if I can do it anymore.
All good.
His eyes are watering. He's trying so hard and failing so badly.
I have tried to kill my mic. Like, I've tried to be like, okay, well, maybe you can cut me out of this if I just kill my mic.
I was thinking about doing that, too, but I thought you were at the tail end of your point, so I was like, oh, no, there's definitely going to be back on the three box there, so I can't just cough and get out of the screen.
I would love to play Bomani. It's one of the funniest sounds I think we've ever heard.
Oh, you're talking about me choking?
Bomani just trying to power his way through doing professional radio as, it, like, just... I guess his mouth had dried up. Everything. Oh, yeah. There was nothing.
Well, the problem was, I'm looking at Shannon, right? Like, I have him in front of me. I'm obviously in this place, and I could only say, help me. It's the only thing that I could say. Because I'm looking at him, right? He's right here. I'm like, can't you see there's a problem? Can you get on the mic? Can you do something?
We have to play that. We have to get that.
Yeah,
and
it's
play
cool.
It right now.
It's so, cool.
Because it's unbelievably funny.
Getting something stuck in his throat as he welcomes back people to his radio show.
Excuse me. Help me. Oh. Help me.
No. God,
help me is strictly, hey, help me make radio. And everybody listening is like, wow,
think I'm dying.
Help
right.
Him,
I'm talking. I'm talking to Shannon. Like, help me. Help me do my job right now.
We've got a long history of covering sneezes, interrupting things with sneezes. It goes back a ways. Look at this. My father's original televised sneeze. Watch his face.
Look
watch
at
his face.
Cartoon the Charlotte Observer put out. And here's what's happening here that I find most interesting.
It's the after that makes this. It's what happens after the sneeze that really makes it. Because he's just like, oh, maybe nobody saw me.
And Dan is straight at the camera, like, I don't even have to look over.
Doing
I know
television. I'm doing television. Giving my very important point on whatever it is I was talking about there. We've got another sneeze, too. Look at this. Look, another, you might recognize
the
sneezer.
Well, I understand the temptation. I mean, you know, you're running around all of a sudden. You open the trunk of the car and you see some, you get some gasoline. You spray some gasoline back there. You throw a match and all of a sudden, you know, you got something going on. But that's all right.
Neither is that.
Didn't even cover it.
Question number one. Who's just keeping this file? Right, that's what I want to know. Who's just sitting there like, when we got this time that Bomani sneezed in 2014? That's question number one. Question number two is, where the stuff with Dan sneezing? Like, I imagine why this is so entertaining. All you doing is laughing at other people. I was willing to take one. Now y'all got me out here taking a second one? I'm a guest. I'm helping you out right now. I was supposed to be here today.
You spit on my father's shirt.
I did not spit on your father's shirt. Your father was sitting too close to me because they didn't give us enough of a budget for a real table.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
Is he on top of the bus? Time to play the game that is exhausted from staying up to watch West Coast basketball. Do you question?
You give us topics and events. It was Zion and LeBron. No. Come on.
We got to get into playoff shape. We got to get to playoff shape. We're going to get wrecked.
Do you question Kyle Lowry's decision to go for this?
Kyle Lowry came under some scorn, I imagine, maybe from Bomani for trying to make the All-Star game about taking charges, spending all his time trying to take charges. That's the last time we talked to Kyle Lowry, talked about Kyle Lowry. How about this situation? He's going for this. Oh,
wow.
Didn't somebody do this recently, like successfully? Was it Isaiah Thomas? Somebody did this. Maybe it was international
Didn't Doncic do it? No, somebody did it to Porzingis. Didn't they do it to Porzingis?
Yeah, but Porzingis is 7'3".
That's true.
What happened? How?
He was trying to go through his legs. Look at that. He was trying to
go through his legs. I know that. I'm talking about what happened here. Like the thought process that's like, if I can just get low enough.
He must have done that successfully against somebody in a practice somewhere, right? To try to do it for the first time against George Hill, where his legs are all the way down there, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
One of Bomani's favorites, Nate Robinson, actually did this during a D-League game. Do you guys remember
this? That's who it was. Yes. Nate Robinson.
Right, but look, look how tall that guy is, and you know about Nate Robinson.
Yeah.
That's definitely not the first time he's done that.
Are you supposed to feel bad about that? Like, oh, he just got me because he crawled between my very tall legs. Nah, that's fine. It's not like getting dunked on or getting crossed over. You're just tall.
You got to understand, the 5'9 population rarely feels like they have an advantage at anything other than playing golf. So, like, when these things happen, they get that's to be true. Like, yeah, what's all that height doing for you now?
Do you question if Spider-Man should be able to get around more efficiently than this?
I am one to argue that no one in the history of ESPN has covered Spider-Man better than this particular show. We have a whole assortment of Spider-Men from all over the globe doing ridiculous things. Let's check out some of those now.
This is my guy.
That's Argentina. Ouch. Argentina there
toothless,
scaring a lot of kids.
Spider-Man.
And this is Brazil right here.
Is this what y'all been doing since I've been gone, just finding Spider-Man?
Yeah. And doing a great job of it, Bo.
This is Russia. Oh, this one's great. No, this one's great. This is the most.
Yo! Spider-Man getting bodywhopped by Batman.
No, but look at this. Yeah. Look at this. Oh, you didn't have that happening. You did not have that happening. You didn't have Santa Claus.
You didn't believe.
So let's honor the question here. Should Spider-Man get around more efficiently than this? What is this?
Is he on top of the bus?
Use
your special powers, you might as well use it for some free transportation.
Once the bus gets started, you can't let go, right? Like, once it gets started, you're on until the next stop. That's the rule for inside the bus and outside the bus.
You know what? I don't mean to get this into technicalities. We can check that again, right? Because I don't believe that this is a Spider-Man. I think this is just a guy dressed as a luchador that we have made Spider-Man. Because this is either some bargain basement flea market Spider-Man, or this is a wrestler of some sort in a costume.
But he had the pose, though, and the stickiness.
Yeah, way to go, Dan. Way to point out that none of these people are actually the real Spider-Man. You know, if you had not told me that this isn't the real Spider-Man, I would have believed that dude. I would have believed. I thought it was Tobey Maguire. You're
next
right. That's who that is, right?
That wasn't Santa Claus in the previous clip, Dan.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
Honest journalism. Doing some honest journalism around here.
Highly questionable. It's broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that doesn't know why Dan always has to FaceTime when he wants to talk. See or no.
Tell us what to watch on television. I like seeing faces when I talk to human beings.
You
won't be just texting all the time, hiding in an anonymity.
He knows better than to try
me. Kicked me to another studio, Bo. Kicked me to an entire other studio, and I used to sit right next to him.
Tonight on ESPN, Grizzlies and Rockets.
Ja Morant and James Harden. I could do without the Rockets. I would enjoy just the Grizzlies. Don't love watching the Rockets play.
Westbrook?
I know Houston hates that. Let's see, though, if small ball with James Harden. Let's see James Harden here do this to Wes Johnson. That was last year. Yeah, that's pretty bad right there. And he also got Dennis Smith Jr. with it as well. You guys want to see him get Dennis Smith Jr. with it? Look at this.
Please.
Really a good three-point shooter. He's going to have to work on his jumper in order to improve in the NBA.
Wait a minute. Didn't he hit him with his hip? That's not the same thing.
When you're a defender, you end up on the floor without a whistle being blown, you're going to get this treatment regardless.
That was an offensive foul. Bomani, are you intrigued?
Just checking on this. Wesley Johnson still in the league? I understand that clip was from last year. Has he kept it up this year? Because I didn't realize he was in the league last year.
Izzy, are you intrigued?
I mean, absolutely. Here's the thing about James Harden and when he gets you with these crossovers and how it's even more embarrassing is you feel like you can go get it. Like, he's right there. He's not crazy athletic. He's not ridiculously quick. You feel like you can go get it. And that's the way he gets guys with all these foul calls and all these crossovers. And by the way, Dan, Russell Westbrook plays for the Rockets, too. Him versus Ja Morant, pretty entertaining.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Tonight at 7, Nets and Wizards.
We've marveled at the on-court evolution of basketball, how it's become a totally three-point game. How about off the court? Where? 10 years ago, LeBron changes teams with a TV show and he's a bum. Kevin Durant does it. He's less of a bum. Kawhi Leonard does it. Less of a bum. And then you find yourself with this situation where Bradley Beal is now an idiot loyal person because he stays in Washington and he scores 50 points consecutively. And this is how he looks on the sidelines. Because the Wizards up and down stink, and he's got a long-term contract. And this is where it begins, right here. The disgruntled star gets all of the money of the hometown team and then leaves in a year because he makes a mess because he's so frustrated by this. Bomani, are you intrigued?
In this particular case, he doesn't look mad because they lost. He looks mad because they lost to the Bulls. Like, if you're a team like the Wizards, your thing is, well, at least we're going to beat the Bulls, right? Wrong.
Izzy, are you intrigued?
Welcome to Devin Booker's entire career, except for that one little two-week segment at the beginning of this year where they look kind of good. This is what he's done his entire career. Stop wasting these great two guards. Get him some help.
That is all the time we have for today. All the sneezing and coughing that you're going to get. Izzy Gutierrez, if you want some more of that, Outside the Lines, 9 a.m. on Saturday on ESPN. The Right Time with Bomani Jones. Check it out. It is an excellent podcast.
Yeah, Dan thought he was going to get out of this unscathed.
Oh, no.
Incorrect.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know what time it is.
Throwing it up into a bucket. Oh, here it is. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. Very unpleasant.
Yeah, and I just want to send a shout out to the producers that took so damn long to remember this. Y'all got my stuff flagged. Somebody had to send y'all a text. Dan did it one time, too. Whoa, imagine walking in.